Psalm 137, 1 through 6 is what we're looking at this morning. We have been going through a summer Bible study series called The Bible Project that in many ways has taken many churches through a real renewal in their understanding of the Scriptures, that all of Scripture from the Old Testament to the New really is the story of Jesus. And so I so appreciate Evan Burgess, who gave a marvelous message when we watched online from Pilgrim Pines, and had a great time and blessed. So thank you, Evan, for the message on the gospel. We're going to talk about exile today, and I prepared pretty diligently while I was at camp preaching every day. This was one of the most profound and transformative studies I've done in probably a decade of my life. I listened to every one of the podcasts, took rigorous notes, and I really want to invite people, as you hear the theme of exile, which I can only give in a few minutes to barely scratch the surface, to go back and listen to some of those messages, because this profoundly changed the way that I see Scriptures in a way that hasn't been done in a long time. And so as we prepare even for next Sunday with Jeffrey Woods, our missionary, coming to preach on the living water, we invite you to watch the video, to dig into some of the podcast, to make it your summer Bible study, and get out as much as you can, because this is a great opportunity for us to really dig deeper in the Word. Psalm 137, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept, when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs. And our tormentors, mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. This is God's word. When we think about exile, we will see that God's people who will find themselves on an exile journey are always called in a time of confusion and darkness and lostness and great, profound disappointment to always turn their eyes and rely on Him. That's a good word for all of us as we journey through our lives. Literally, exile means to be driven out. To be driven out. And to be in exile is to be a person or a family or a community or a tribe or a nation that is experiencing the devastating reality of being driven out of a place of familiarity and belonging. If you've ever experienced moving to a new community, as my family has, leaving family and friends behind, you get a little bit of taste of a life of an exile. To be driven out, it is often a terrifying experience, as all that is familiar has been stripped away. You're in the midst often of uncertainty, you're isolated, and you are in a time of profound disorientation, trying to get your bearings straight. You are living in the unknown. But the story of the gospel is that God is a God who understands the exile pain, and He always meets those that are trying to find their way out in life, if you're open, if you will come to Him. That is the story of the exile. First of all, and we'll go through this pretty quickly, number one, exile is the defining experience of the Israelites. And studying through this week, this came across in a fresh new way, because often we think of the Israelites receiving the Ten Commandments, or it is being under the rule of King David, or it's the journey of the prophets. But as I studied this and read through Scripture, this really emerged as to me a profound truth and understanding that it is not all the other things of the law, the prophets, of which are very important, but it is the theme of exile that is the central theme of the Jewish people. We know that this manifested itself in 586 BC, when the Babylonians, who were the superpower of their time, invaded the world, gave Jerusalem, the Jewish people, opportunities to really follow along, but they kept on rebelling. Prophets were sent. This is from me, the Lord. This is your discipline. This is your punishment. Receive it. Understand that I have sent Nebuchadnezzar. I have sent this pagan army. Submit. Understand that I still love you, my people. Yet they rebelled and they were exiled into a foreign land. This Psalm 137 is written in the midst of profound pain as the Jewish people find themselves exiled in a foreign land. Many of their loved ones have already been killed. Their land devastated, occupied, and thousands upon thousands forcibly removed from their homeland and finding themselves in a pagan culture. The Bible, the Old Testament, as it was being weaved together, is really a Bible, a biblical story for exiles. It was produced by people who were in exile to help them understand that God is always their deepest hope. And so exile, the experience of being utterly uprooted from the familiar, the pain that that causes, is really the central theme of the Jewish story that we find throughout the Old Testament and then connected to the New. The Jewish people were always on a search to find their true home and was always connected to the land. This was such a traumatic, painful experience to experience the Babylonian exile in 586 BC that everything began to be centered upon the hope we can't wait till one day we can return and see the glory of King David and King Solomon, the nostalgia for the olden days, and the prophets whom God raised. So for me, to think about the exile as a central theme of the Jewish people was a fresh reminder of how pain, dislocation, confusion, and darkness is really the story of God's people and how God continually calls them to put their trust in Him and Him alone. The Bible Project puts it like this: exile is a traumatic experience for anyone or any culture. It was so significant for the Jewish people that when their prophets and scribes began stitching together the stories of the people, they did so while considering what it means to be in exile and if there is any hope of going back home. From your understanding of the Jewish scriptures of the Old Testament, put that in the forefront as you begin to understand the story of the Jewish people. It makes a lot of sense and helps us really begin to understand the larger storyline of Scripture. Secondly, it's not only a central experience, a message of the Israelites, but I believe exile, secondly, is the central theme of the entire Bible. Whoa, Pastor, that's kind of a stretch. I thought it was just an experience that the Israelites went through being brought back to Babylon. No. Exile is the central theme of the entire Scriptures. How do you figure, Pastor? How can you say that? Because 586 BC, when the Israelites experienced this devastating experience of being found in exile, echoes and reminds us of what happened in Genesis 3. Genesis 3 is the first tragedy that we find in the scriptures of human beings being cast out, exiled out of their home because of their rebellion, because of their sin, because of their desire to determine what is right or wrong in their own eyes and not God's. Genesis 3 is the passage that reminds us that exile is not just a Jewish experience, but the experience of all humanity. You see, we'll put this on the screen. The whole point is Genesis 3 to 11 is the retelling, Tim Mackey says, of the story of all humanity as an exile that leads to Babylon. In other words, Israel's story is a summary, is a recapitulation of our human experience that we find in the book of Genesis. They are parallel stories. Adam and Eve messed up everything. If only I was there, I certainly would not have eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh yeah, God says, let's see. And he calls an entire nation of people to himself, recreates the conditions that allows that obedience leads to the blessing and life of God. And the Israelites will blow it over and over and over again. It's not just the Israelites, but it is our experience as well. Genesis 3 to 11 is a retelling of our story, not just the Jewish story, that all humanity is in exile because of our disobedience against the Lord. That is a very different way to begin to understand the story and message of the Bible. It's not just the story of the Israelites. It's not just what we find in Genesis 3. But thirdly, the exile is our story too. The exile is our story too. Walker Percy says this: the fundamental mystery of the universe is why we feel so alone and alienated from our own bodies, from our own communities, from our own families, and from the universe. This is supposed to be our home. So why is it so unstable? And why is life so dangerous here and so hostile? The exile experience is not just a Jewish ethnic experience because what happened in 586. But when we go back to the book of Genesis and we see that all humanity has been living in exile when we were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And no matter how long you've lived here in New England or wherever you call home, Walker Percy puts it so well. There is this mystery. Why do we feel so alone? Why do we feel so alienated from ourselves, from our loved ones, our own spouse, our children, and our communities? It's because we are still living in exile. It's fascinating as you begin to unpack the teaching of the New Testament that even Peter, in writing his letter in 1 Peter, adopts the very language of traveler, sojourner, exile, in describing the beloved church of Jesus Christ. If any of us here, even if we're happily married and raising happy children, living in a comfortable place that we call our home, if you just scratch beneath the surface, all of us wrestle with feelings of being isolated, alone, disconnected, and alienated from ourselves, from one another, from the Lord. The exile still runs deep in our veins and our human experience. And as the video profoundly put it, fourthly and finally, Jesus is our exiled Savior who brings us home. You see, the Jewish people were allowed to finally travel back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, back to their homeland, but it wasn't enough. They went back to Jerusalem, began to rebuild. Eventually, a new temple was constructed. The walls were rebuilt. The people returned back to the land. But it wasn't the same. They thought of the glory days of King David and King Solomon, but still they looked at their present lives and said, "We are back in our land. We are back in our homes. But things are not the same. Something is amiss." Because until you address the exile within our own hearts, the alienation we have from God, we'll never be able to fully experience home with a capital H. That is a challenge that we find in the scriptures. And so even as John the Baptist, quoting from the book of Isaiah, still calling out to the Israelite, to the Jewish people, that they are still exiles to return home, to return to a person, the Savior, Jesus. Jesus is our exiled Savior who returns us back from exile into our true home. This was so powerful. We'll put it up on the screen. Jesus also claimed that Israel and all humanity had lost its way, that our self-centeredness drives us to create false homes based on status and power, and these inevitably exclude others. We live in an exile of our own making. Oh, man, that's good. But Jesus said that the true way home is one of weakness, of service, and of forgiveness. Jesus understood why we are deep in our being and hearts, alienated from all that we care and love. Why is that? It's King Jesus who is the human who broke through the veil as he became what we are all made for and destined to become. Next slide. He's the one who will recreate our homeland to be what it is truly designed to be. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. That's why Peter, 1 Peter 2 says this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Yes, we can be restored and find our true home in the Savior that was exiled and crucified outside the city gates, who had no place to call home. He was exiled in our place so that we no longer have to be, and we can find our true home. And it is that vision that holds us together in all the challenges and uncertainties of life. And so how do we connect all this to what we've been hearing about heaven and earth and image of God, that we are God's image bearers in a world that is slowly being restored, and we are waiting for the day when Jesus returns, where heaven and earth will be perfectly united once again? Some of you have heard the acronym Bible, as I have, and believed and understood like this Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Does that sound familiar to anyone, or is it just me? Basic instructions. The world is going to pot, so let's save as many souls and get out of here and get jettisoned up to heaven. We're waiting to be shipped out of this stinking world. That is not the biblical understanding of new creation. We are not just waiting for this world to be destroyed and for us to be shipped out. We are waiting for this world to become the home that we see in the book of Genesis, this Eden, where heaven and earth coexisted and where God's rule reigned perfectly and our will reflected God's will, passions, and desires. That's why in Philippians 3, Paul writes, "My citizenship is in heaven, and from there we await a Savior to bring about a transformation, a new creation." Eden, according to the Bible Project, and as I look at the scriptures, is an image of what the world ought to be. It is the new Jerusalem that comes to life one person at a time who surrenders to King Jesus. And God's will one day become our will in a perfect way. For all of us, many of which maybe have never left to a foreign land, you don't have to be exiled physically to experience the alienation, the brokenness, the pain of feeling disoriented and lost. One turn of events, one sickness in your family, a grievous loss, someone going through a heartbreaking experience, a loss of a job, a loss of a home, a broken relationship with your son or daughter, your spouse, you could find yourself in an exile so easily. You don't have to be deported to a foreign nation. The greatest longing and need of our hearts is to find a home. And until you deal with the exile within your own heart that we all go through because of our broken relationship to God, no matter how nice your home is, you will never feel 100% at home until we come to the one who is our true home, the person of Jesus Christ. And so, this morning, I invite you to acknowledge, that's me. I'm in exile. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never felt truly at home. Come to the one who was exiled in your place, crucified outside the city gates, that you can come home from your exile and find a true home.